is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, and I did promise you a series on what to teach your children about finances so that they could prosper. And I shared with you that just quite strangely, I have 8 episodes that have just disappeared, and more than once have they disappeared. So this is passing strange. But anyway, we did start last time with the idea that, yes, God loves you, and God wants a better life for you and for your children. And that's the banner scripture for this broadcast. All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. Isaiah 54:13. And by the way, Jesus quoted that. And of course, if you turn your life over to God and He is your Lord, He is also your Savior. And yes, you have a much better eternal life, but actually your life on this earth is better. And that may not be really obvious to a very young person, but to a sociologist, there is a robust evidence, and to an older person, you see this. You live ungodly and your life is not so nice. But a godly life leads you to stay out of and get out of trouble. So let's start there. You have a better life if you give your life to the Lord. So I would suggest doing that, is give the Lord the rightful place of Lord in your life so that you can also claim the saviorship. And you know how to do that. The beginning of that is simply to choose by faith, to lean by faith, and to let the Lord know, to pray. Make it a serious prayer, not just repeating after some minister, that if you confess the Lord as Lord, believe that Jesus raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So just tell the Lord that and ask for salvation, and then you're saved. By the way, that's Romans 10. Anyway, so the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So I encourage you, if you didn't already last episode, do it right now. Pray and ask the Lord for salvation for you and for your household. And as long as you have minor children who are not able to make up their own mind, and I think maybe certainly that your covenant covers them, but I believe you can claim that promise. Pray for their salvation no matter how old they are. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing, is it obvious to everybody that God wants prosperity? Oh my goodness, is there a bigger controversy within the church? I'm not sure. But let's not take a partisan side and let's just look at it. Right, so the mainline churches tend to have upper middle class members at this point. It didn't necessarily when they started, but they do now, mainline. And so they don't have a problem with prosperity. They assume often that it's their wise choices. And if they reflected, of course, they would be grateful and admit that they were the inheritors of a culture as well as of money from their parents and their parents' parents, and that culture was rooted in the Bible. That's true for Americans, that's true for English-speaking people, that's true for Germans, and every prosperous nation on earth. So the rich people today, although they may not be the most ardent religionists, they are the inheritors of a culture that was. And, well, since it comes up here, let me mention that Robert Woodbury has made some sociological studies and shows that wherever conversionary Protestantism has gone, then democracy, and therefore freedom, and also economic development follows. So this continues to be true. Now, the poor in any nation usually don't realize that much of what they do is actually ungodly. The very poor tend not to be very ardent religionists. The very poor in this country don't go to church. The most ardent religionists tend to be the working class people. The people who go to church most are working class through upper middle class. So the very rich may have an affiliation, but mostly they are, at least is what I learned in sociology, mostly replicating their traditions. And so they'll have an affiliation, but they may not go to church every Sunday, but the people who are doing better do. The middle class, working class, and the upper middle class all tend to be the higher churchgoers. So the poor tend not to go to church, and they have ideas and do things that are contrary to what is prescribed by the Bible. For instance, not having stable marriages, and consequently, not having good child-rearing practices. So, and maybe they don't even think that lying or stealing is wrong. So, there's no surprise there. Now, in our place in history, in the United States, we have become more and more ungodly. We have been the public school system that was set up to teach the Bible. If you look at Satan the Old Deluder Act from the colony of Massachusetts, now has become the purveyor of anti-God, anti-Christian ideology. So we went through a time of being secular, but now certainly not. They're teaching frank Marxism in many cases. It's, of course, not uniform across the nation, and there are strong efforts to make it uniform, like Common Core. Some of the things that they taught in history was very weak history, but they certainly propounded some of the leftist ideas in social studies. So, and we see that that has not worked. The Russians did not like it. The Poles did not like it. The Koreans do not like it. Even the Chinese have moved away. Although they may be the strongest holders, they have moved away from a Marxist, Leninist, and even somewhat away from Mao, although they hold on to some of Mao. So communists do not prosper their countries, let alone their individual inhabitants. And however, they make great promises. For instance, in Vietnam, they did build the roads to the markets. They did promise, they did make great promise, and so there was a reason why the peasants thought maybe that was a good idea. And then when they were under communist rule, there was a whole different thing, and you saw people escaping. I know somebody who escaped as a child from communist Vietnam. There's a reason why people would go to certain death. I mean, would you get in a rowboat and go across the Pacific Ocean? Would you do that? Not unless what you were running from was very bad. Okay, so we don't get into politics here, but I am trying to ground philosophically that God does want you to be prosperous, and how to be prosperous, you need to follow good values and a good philosophy. I mean, I know you want 1, 2, 3 steps, but look, this is the way it is, and I don't care what kind of 1, 2, 3 steps you want, you know, marketing or witchcraft or witchcraft covered over with Christianity. I don't care. This is what works, all right? So ground yourself in basic traditional values. Yes, hard work matters. Yes, learning matters. Yes, diligent matters. Diligence, learning, hard work, you're not going to get away from those. Hallelujah. Now, it might not be enough to make you rich, but it's going to be better than without. There you go. God loves you and wants a better life for you. Those people who have followed biblical values have done better than those who have not. And that's the way it is. Okay, so what next? Well, okay, I was going to give you some practical ideas today about things to do with kids. I wanted to rush to that because we're already in the middle of the summer, depending on when your school starts up. Not every state starts up the same thing. So let's talk quickly. So I think passing this idea along to your child is vitally important because what is between their ears matters a lot. And if they think they can never get ahead, there was no reason that they think that they will put themselves out to try to get ahead. And therefore, it will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. And everybody admits the power of the self-fulfilling prophecy. So put some good material in there. So if your children are going to build their lives into cathedrals, give them some bricks and some tools and some blueprints. Okay? So that's the first thing. And you might find some things down at the library. I am just amazed and appalled at the extent to which this is not taught. And I noticed that of all of the episodes in my last series, the one that talked about universal business education was the least downloaded. So people don't like that. They want airy-fairy Christian blessing and wonder why that's not good enough. Well, you've got to do the practical stuff too. Faith without works is dead. And everybody needs to know how business works. If we don't have that kind of basic knowledge, I don't care what you're going to be, if you're going to be a scholar, an artist, a pastor, maybe you're not going to be a business person, but you still need to know how it works. All of those people need to look at the balance sheet and the income statement. All right, so things to do with kids. How about introducing them to how things work? I'm not saying study all summer. Yes, go out to the beach. But how does the beach work? Why is there sand on a beach? Why are some beaches white? Why are some beaches not? So why do we get sunburns, suntans? Why, you know, what is it that we're putting on our skin? Inquire as to what's going on and introduce the children to how things work. Why is it that you need to spray your car off after you leave the beach in Texas? In Texas, you drive on the beach. I noticed in Florida, no, you were still on the concrete. But in Texas, you drive on the beach, and so you have to spray the underside of your car off so that the metal isn't corroded by the salt. Well, there's a chemistry lesson right there. Or maybe you've got undercoating, and maybe you paid extra for your undercoating. Or maybe you could go to the Coca-Cola bottling plant and get a tour. Maybe not right now, but I remember very clearly a tour that I think my Girl Scout troop went on to the dairy. These kinds, maybe you can take a virtual tour to a place of business. Show your child what you're doing at your place of business, or that may be on your kitchen table at the moment, but show them how things work. How does it even work at church? How are decisions made at church? How does the sound system work at church? Wherever you are, figure out and talk about how things work. How did people buy food, and how did they adjust? So, and where does food come from, for heaven's sakes? Yes. And so if you are of the mind that this is a plandemic, how did that work? And how could you work your life without reference to that? And how does it work to make the population think a certain thing? How does marketing work, and how does media work? Some of my friends' children got together and started making movies. Oh, this had to have been 20 years ago. And so, just because, I don't know, well, now that I think of it, a couple of the parents in that Bible study group actually worked in the industry, so they knew something about movie making, but the kids had access to the first software that made movies, and they learned how to shoot movies and edit them and put them out, and these kids are now in their 30s. Amazing how things work. In fact, I know somebody else who has a high-tech job right now, and he used to sneak to get his father camera and had to erase what he shot so his father wouldn't figure out that he had used the camera. But pretty soon his father got the idea that his son liked tech and bought him some of the first computer and learned how to code with his son. And now his son is IT manager. He loves tech. He loves tech. So go with what your kids like and know that everything is connected to everything. So if your daughter loves cooking, you can do a chemistry lesson in the kitchen. If your son loves movies, well, that connects to business. So everything, you know, if your kids love art, well, how are you going to put on an art show? How are you going to take money? How does that, how do you market it and so forth? Today, you probably cannot make a lemonade stand. This is recorded while there is the tail end of the COVID and umpteen-jillion hypes. But anyway, where I am, probably you couldn't do that. But even in normal times in Texas, we don't have people walking down the street today like we did when I was a child. So lemonade stand might be the deal. I remember one church I went to where one girl was cooking very small bundt cakes and selling them to the members of the church. And everybody really encouraged her because not only did they like the bundt cakes, but they understood the importance of teaching children about business. Maybe your son could, maybe he's not old enough to have a lawn mowing business, but he could maybe sweep and offer to sweep for the people on the block who are mowing. Make an agreement ahead of time. How to make an agreement, how to come up with a price, how to negotiate, how to sweep better, all of those things. Then also, maybe you want to go into the air conditioning. I'm in Texas, and so in the afternoons in the summer, we're probably not outside sweeping, but we're in the air conditioning. Don't give your kids Netflix. Sit down with them and tell them how to use Quicken or QuickBooks or even Excel. Show them what income statement is. Well, you put all your income, and then you put all your expenses, and then you put it in an orderly fashion, and you subtract your expenses from your income, and you hope there's a positive number there. And what is a balance sheet? A balance sheet is a, or otherwise called a statement of condition. You put all your assets, and then you put all your liabilities and any owner's equity, and it has to balance. Do you understand what I'm saying? So all your assets is what you own. Liabilities is what you owe. And if you're running a good business, then you own more than you owe, because every time you make some income, you add that to owner's equity. And sometimes you have bought, maybe you bought a desk or a truck to use in your business or a building, and maybe you owe something on it, but you own the building. And so the difference between what you owe and the building that's useful, then you have some owner's equity, and that has to balance out. And you don't want to discover that you owe so much that your assets really aren't, that you have no equity, right? You're turning. So I know some women who have done daycare in their house, childcare in their house, and their wash machine is used up because they're washing so many clothes, and their carpets used up because of all the kids running around on the carpet, and they haven't made a plan to replace that. So they were really turning their capital assets, their wash machine and their carpet, into income, and they needed to make more cash income to pay for the depreciation of those. So those kinds of ideas, get a little book. There aren't many, I'll have to say, there aren't many, but there are a few that talk about finances for a child, because I don't think you're going to want to pull out your Principles of Accounting textbook for college class and show your preschool child, but there might be some for young adults, and you might be able to use those for your upper elementary school children. And they're going to like it. They're going to like it. How about refinishing some furniture? You know, I think that's awfully fun to take some derelict furniture that's on the curb. Maybe if you have the ability to fix a wash machine, you could take a derelict wash machine or dryer and fix it in your garage. And ideally, they might like it, or they want to sell it or give it away, but they can now actually do something instead of just lay around with strange ideas in their head from the strange movies they're watching. I don't want to mean to pick on Netflix in particular, but whatever platform you use, whether it's television or YouTube or movie, doesn't matter. There's a lot of strange ideas in the fiction, and people who lay around and watch fiction all the time rather than do something end up with strange ideas, and those are the entitled people. But the people who are happy and feel like they can do something are the people who can't. So do something. All right. And that leads to more ideas about finances. So if you're going to measure how well you're doing, so maybe you have a little furniture upholstering, a furniture refurbishing business in your garage. Is that a better thing to do? Or is it better to do some tutoring? Say you have a high school child now, and they can either tutor for $20 an hour, or they can refinish a dresser, you know, a chest of drawers. Which is more beneficial? Then you can start talking about profit margins and cap rates and so forth. If you have a younger child, make a store. I remember fun hours when I started teaching my grandsons, not just about numbers, but also about coins. You know, very strange that a nickel, 5 cents, is larger than the 10-cent dime, but somebody has to teach that to them, and I taught them that. And then I got out some change, and then we made a little store, and, you know, a play store, and then we made chains. And that was so good, so that when they're 6 or 7 and they want to actually go to a store and they actually have some money in their hand, they understand about what things cost and whether or not the people gave them change. Oh, it was just wonderful. We had so much fun over and over. It took a little time for them to learn. And then there was another learning experience when we actually were going to the store. But, oh, how satisfying. And then you can talk about the basic ideas of business, which is very much like sowing and reaping. And so I guess I'll approach that next time. So I hope I gave you some ideas about what to do with your child this summer. Make the summer useful. This kind of business, basic business understanding, is necessary for all people in our culture, and it's not being taught. So you can make your child happier, because they will feel more powerful, because they will be more powerful because they can do things and understand things. And it will leave them less likely to be deceived and enslaved by people who promise them impossible things like free college for everyone, no matter what your aptitude, and free livelihood, everything you could ever want, and you don't ever have to do anything. Now, you can get income from the government, but it's not a good life. All right, so don't leave your children susceptible to that kind of lying, okay? But give them a good life by giving them skills and abilities and hope, because God wants total well-being for all children. And most of all, this is important for those children who don't do well in school, who are not going to get a career just by being churned out of the educational system. And most importantly, is it important for children who have quote unquote learning disabilities. They are smart by definition, and yet they don't do well in school. They're going to do better in the 3D real world. So that's the world that we're talking about you introducing them to. Okay? I don't know why, but I feel to talk about Forrest Gump. Your children are not Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump did not have a learning disability. Forrest Gump had another learning problem, but he did well. And the story is not entirely fictional, because there are many situations where just doing what you're told is what is going to win the day. And other situations where just simple facts is good enough. So he did what he was told in the army, and he did well. Simple facts. What was his business? Shrimping or something? I don't know. He had some business. He did it. Simple. He did well. Okay? So he wasn't the type to do well in school. And this is more true for quote-unquote learning disabled kids who really understand things but have some sort of problem that inhibits their school abilities. So do not let them get the idea that they are stupid in school, and do not allow them to be ignorant because the school hasn't taught them about business. Everyone needs to know the basic facts about business, because you don't know how things work if you don't understand it. Doesn't matter if you're running a ministry or voting or something else, or being a housewife, you have to understand. So there you have it, how to pass that knowledge along to your children and have something productive to do this summer. So I will post a few resources on the website at greatshalom.org, and I encourage you also to post your great ideas. If we share ideas, this will be a wonderful thing. So go to the website, greatshalom.org, great like big G-R-E-A-T shalom S-H-A-L-O-M greatshalom.org, and post your ideas. And please write me at info@greatshalom and ask me your questions. Tell me who you are and how you like the broadcast, and let me know who you are. Okay, that's not a whole lot to ask. And please share so that other people can access this. This seems to be the best kept secret. Let's change that, okay? Because God wants total well-being for all children.
Celebrate the victory. Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to greatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.